Hey, everybody, it's Jeremy Roenick and Tim Peel right here on NoFilter.net. Again, it's Wednesday night. It's Snipes and Stripes, and we got a great show for you tonight. Tim, I know you're excited because we're going to get a little deep with a little controversy, a little bit of bad news, a little bit of fun news, and as usual, I think we're going to entertain anybody, everybody. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing great, buddy. I know you're in L.A. We talked earlier.
As you can see, it's all behind me. Yep.
Tell the listeners why you're in L.A., because Andre Kopitar is one of my favorite guys.
Yeah, I'm here in L.A. taking a couple clients to the game, and Andre Kopitar said, hey, listen, we're having a little ceremony for myself tonight. He's got a couple milestones that the Kings are going to honor him with. One of the classiest, one of the nicest, one of the best players I've seen in a long time. Actually, Gretzky at one time called Andre Kopitar the top three best centers in the game, which is an amazing compliment coming from the great one. But I'm here to see Andre Kopitar get a few milestone awards, and then he has a party afterwards so I can go give him a hug and see if the Buffalo Sabres can get their head out of their ass and play a game for once on the road and play a team, not choke.
You know what? Before we move on, if Andre didn't play in LA his entire career, JR, he would get a lot more recognition than what he does. If he played in Canada, New York, Chicago, this guy is a phenomenal player, one of the best two-way players in the NHL, and even more so, he's a phenomenal person. So please tell him I love the guy. And enjoy your night. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, pal. And I think it's important for us to lead off the show and talk about what's going on in the NHL. It's affecting the NHL because five players have had to take a leave of absence from their team because of an incident that happened with Hockey Canada back in 2018 at the World Juniors in Halifax.
Yeah, it's really sad. And some prominent players, some guys that are really up and coming in the National Hockey League. No other one than Carter Hart, who we know is the backstop for the Philadelphia Flyers. You can name the names off if you want, but Carter Hart, this is a big blow to the Philadelphia Flyers. That's a big blow to all the teams, but it's a big blow to these players. I mean, this really makes me sad. It makes me sad for everybody on all sides, the players, and it makes me sad for the victim involved. Now, obviously, you know, nothing is charged until they go through the system and go through all the parameters of an investigation and all that stuff. And then I would have to think a trial. But I really hope this does not end their careers. They're young kids and they've made a mistake. By the way, the young female made a mistake. I think they're all involved, and it's unfortunate that this has to happen. Five players and one female. It's never going to turn out right. It's really not a good situation for everyone. But my question is, why is it 5 years ago? Why is it coming out now? It's always bothered me. If something happens to this nature, why doesn't it come out right away?
I don't know. All I know is Hockey Canada has been embroiled in a lot of controversy the last couple of years. They paid this young lady $3.5 million in a settlement. And I thought that probably was the end of it. But now the police have investigated it. And these five gentlemen, Dylan Dubé from Calgary, Carter Hart from Philly, as you mentioned, Michael McLeod and Cal Foote from Jersey, and Alex Fermenton, he plays in Europe. He's Ottawa's draft pick. The five of them have to report to the London police within the next few days, and I don't know if charges are going to be laid. I read as much as I could about it today, but them going to meet with them is certainly not good. And if they are charged, JR, from what I read from Rick Westhead, who is a prominent writer on TSN, he's the guy. Some people don't like him. I think there's a place in journalism for a guy like him. He's wrote a lot of controversial stuff, but he digs up facts and stories that nobody really wants to talk about. And I read today that they're not charged, but they have to meet with the police. So if they are charged with sexual assault, are their careers done?
Well, you see the way the National Hockey League's going, and the way that they are treating this sort of behavior. I don't know if you remember the young player from Phoenix that got drafted in the first round, that got accused of some racial slurs when he was a young kid, when he was a teenager, and he got so much backlash from the fans that Arizona ended up releasing him. Boston tried to sign him, and then the backlash came again, and Gary Bettman refused to let this kid play over racial slurs that he so-called did, allegedly did, as a young kid, as a young teenager, if not, you know, 11 or 12. So you're looking at a league right now that has almost a no-tolerance policy. You saw what happened with Corey Perry.
Yep.
In Chicago. It's more has come out about what Corey Perry did, just, you know, being indecent and speaking to somebody in the organization. And that is something that is not going to be tolerated. And especially in Chicago, because of all the off-ice situations that they have had to go through with the sexual assault back in, you know, 2011. So the attitude is changing right now. And by the way, you could argue that if Corey Perry did what he did on any other team, he might still be on that team and just got fined or disciplined and
nobody so on and so forth. But he would probably even know about it. Exactly.
Yeah. So Chicago is just a little different story because they've been under scrutiny and they are making sure that there is a no tolerance policy in Chicago. But this one is a tough one because I would have to think that these boys are going up to Toronto to London, Ontario to give their story and whether they are going to get charged from their story and then listening to the opposite side story. This is a bad situation. And I, like I said before, I feel terrible for all of them, but I sure hope that their careers aren't ended because of this stupid situation.
Yeah. We've all, you know, listen, that if we had cell phones and cameras and when I was a teenager, these guys are young men. You can't forget about the young lady involved, but we don't know the whole story. So we don't know the whole story. So you can't say they're guilty. You can't say they're innocent. We don't know the whole story and we don't know what happened that night. But you know, from everything you read, they're good young men that, you know, did they have indiscretions that night? I don't know. We don't know what happened. So it's unfortunate. And
listen, I have come to realize in my life that when if you're in a precarious situation and maybe an uncomfortable situation or maybe a weird situation, this situation being one girl, five guys, probably not going to end up well on either
anybody
side. Not a good situation to put yourselves in on both sides, the five players or the female involved. Not making any blame towards her,
no.
But because we don't know, but that's not a situation that you put yourself in because nothing good can come of that at all. So let's hope everything turns out okay for everybody involved. And it's, you know, hopefully the female is okay and is, you know, her life is, you know, moving along and she's not damaged by it. And hopefully the players can give their side of the story and continue their careers. It's really a tough thing to talk about because you can't really rip anybody for not really knowing. Let this process unfold and then see what happens from there. On the flip side, you know, we just talked about Corey Perry, and Corey Perry now just joined the Edmonton Oilers.
Edmonton takes all the reclamation projects. They took our buddy Evander Kane, and look what he's done for them.
They're the second chance team.
Exactly.
They're the second chance team. And you know what? Good for them.
I love it.
Good for them. Listen, Evander Kane, it was more than his second chance. It was more like his third or fourth chance. But for Corey Perry, who's had an exemplary career, had a Hart Trophy winning season, led the league in goals, won a Stanley Cup, has been a great leader, has played in how many Stanley Cup finals over the last 5 years? More than anybody, I believe. And now he's sitting in Edmonton with a team that's on a 14-game win streak. It's a great story.
Well, you know what? We're going to take a lot of credit for that 14-game win streak, because since Evander Kane came on our show, I think they've won 10 or 11 of those 14. So we're going to take a little bit of Snipes and Stripes are going to take a little credit for that. But Corey Perry, I love the guy. He's an incredible player, incredible character player. But my question to you is, he's 38.
Okay,
he's 38. He'll be 39 when the playoffs start, and I assume Edmonton's going to be in the playoffs. How much can he contribute to a team right now, JR?
Well, I think he can still contribute a lot, especially on the power play. He's been on the second power play down in Tampa, and he was on the power play in Chicago. The guy can still skate. If you look at Corey Perry's career, he really wasn't a guy who threw his body around everywhere and was reckless, and he's still in pretty good shape. He can still skate pretty well. I think in the locker room, he's going to be a great influence on a lot of these guys, especially Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, you know, Evander Kane.
I agree. But
I do think he can add a lot. And so we got to go to Keenan, because, you know, Keenan is a big, Keenan's a big Edmonton fan. So we got to let Keenan come on the show. One of our great features about nofilter.net is we can bring the fan on. There he is. And he's wearing his jersey. That a boy, yes, Keenan. So listen, you just wrote on the text chain that you're excited that Corey Perry's there, but you guys are on a 14-game win streak. Did you guys need him? And is he gonna help you guys?
So one thing we do really need, because our defense, I know before I was really hard on them and really critical of our goalie too, but our bottom six, if we could add extra to that depth scoring, that'd be amazing. And bringing a guy in like Perry, who has that veteran presence, veteran leadership, who could play bottom 6 minutes and who's willing to, that'd be unbelievable to have him on there.
Okay, now either one of you, you're on a 14-game win streak. Do you put him in if he's ready to play, or do you wait until that win streak is done?
Yeah, who do you take out? Who do you take out of the lineup?
Probably Adam Ernie. Connor Brown.
But again, everybody's flowing on all cylinders right now. Everything's looking good.
Thing is, though, we've changed our lineup so much, even throughout our win streak. Like, we've had shuffled our bottom six forwards. We brought, like, Ryan down to the fourth line, even brought in Holloway. Gagne came back. So, I mean, it won't really disrupt anything. He's just another guy in the locker room, pretty much. It's like making a trade, right? So, I mean, part of me is a little worried about that, I'll be honest. But, hey, we'll see. I mean, if we lose the first game, then that wouldn't look good on our first one, to say the least.
But yeah. A great point. Tim, he makes a great point. They have shuffled guys around.
That's a very good point. Hey, Keenan and JR, how about Stuart Skinner, who everybody wanted to vilify the first two or three months of the season? I watched his interview last night with Gene Principe, one of the nicest guys in broadcasting. And Stuart Skinner even said, he goes to Gene, he goes, "One of my biggest thrills is getting interviewed by you tonight." But Gene asked him, he goes, "Stuart, what do you think? You just broke Grant Fuhr's record for 11 consecutive wins. Now, how about that, JR? One of the most legendary, one of the top goaltenders of all time. And three months ago, they wanted to ship Stuart Skinner to Bakersfield."
Well, I, again, Grant Fuhr is a very, very close friend of mine, and I don't like to see him get his records broken. But good for Skinner, and good for the team for playing better in front of him. Scoring goals, but playing better defensively as a team. And I think when your team plays better in front of you, obviously Skinner's going to get less of the quality chances, and I think he's bearing down. Keenan, I'd like to hear your opinion on him, because he's been awesome.
Well, and on in front of him too, we've had a great defense. 12 games in a row with two or less goals. That really says something. I remember beginning of the year we were giving up odd man rushes and everything. But Skinner is just, he's a brick wall in that. Like, we can be down a goal, and I know that the team will put in front of him, and he can just shut the door. Like, last night, he gave up a goal 4 minutes left in the first period. I was at the game last night, actually. It was lots of fun. And to see how he literally shut the door, all the rushes in front of the net, and all the Stu chants raining down. Yeah. I don't know if you guys can hear it on TV. It's awesome to see that he's been playing as a young guy, too.
Well, Keenan, listen, I love getting your opinion. We know you're a big Edmonton fan. I just hope that you're not really talented at driving and doing this camera at the same time.
I'm sitting right now. I'm sitting in my car right now.
Keenan, one last thing before we let you go. We'll make it quick, but I want you to give you've got a new podcast coming out. I want you to give it a plug, okay? Because we're happy for you, okay?
I appreciate you guys. So it's called Let's Talk About It. I'm going to be touching on hockey, and I'd love to have you guys on too eventually once I get it going here. But it's called Let's Talk About It, being the Canadian beanie that it is. And it's basically, I'm going to be talking a lot of hockey. I'm going to try touching all over the league. But at the same time, I do want to touch more life in general, like things like people are going through. And just, it's Let's Talk About It for a reason. Let's talk about something you have on your mind. Let's bring it on. And I don't have a set schedule yet for it, but I'll definitely keep you updated on what.
Hey, you know, right here on No Filter, you can start your own show right here on No Filter, and we'll take care of it with you. So don't forget about us.
You would love to come on, buddy, when you get it going. So
definitely, and one episode's out already. One episode's out already.
Awesome. Well, I'm coming on because obviously I love to talk. So you're the best, buddy. I'll see you later. Really appreciate it very much. You're a special guy.
Okay.
Yeah, we got to go on a show. I love that idea. Talk about everything.
It's awesome. I saw his logo, and our American listeners won't get it, but our Canadian listeners will. It's Let's Talk About It. TOQUE, and it's a winter cap. So
it's awesome.
Good for him. I love it.
Okay. So listen. Let's keep moving along because we're kind of everything we're talking about is moving into another kind of situation. So here we got. Corey Perry gets a second chance in Edmonton, and there's a player in Toronto who actually has not gotten a second chance, has been out for almost 5 weeks, 17 or 18 games. And Ryan Reeves seems to be perplexed why he's not playing, or at least he's dropping some hints that even though he's on injured reserve, he's not hurt. There's something serious going on about Ryan Reeves, and I have an idea maybe of what's going on and what's happening, but what's your take on Ryan Reeves?
Well, I have an idea. He can't play in the league anymore. That's the idea. Like, I love Revo. He was one of the toughest guys in the league. I reffed him his entire career. He was in St. Louis. I got to see him a lot. Tremendous guy. It's not a personal thing when I say he can't play in the league anymore. But at the end of the day, he can't keep up to the pace of the game. He's only making $1.3 million, and the salary cap, that's nothing, okay? The league minimum, $775. He's not making, but he's got 2 years left after this deal. Troy Levin signed him to a three-year deal, and good for Revo to get that contract. But there's a reason he was with the Rangers. They let him go. Then he went to Mini. Billy Guerin brought him in. I'm sure he realized, he brought him in to protect Kaprizov. They brought him into Toronto because they got pushed around the playoffs and they don't have a lot of grit and determination. But he can't play in the league anymore, buddy. And it's just
I'm starting to think where I thought he was a good influence in the locker room and a good influence on some players that they would give him a little bit more get a little bit more bravery on the ice and maybe give him some more room. I'm starting to think maybe Ryan Reeves is more of a nuisance in the locker room and maybe a nuisance in the media because I don't think you come into Toronto, especially the hockey capital of the world and the media hockey capital world. And as a fighter, you come in and you start your career the season with Toronto saying something like this.
Yeah. I mean, I never really liked him, to be honest. We always seem to kind of run into each other when we play against each other, but not a lot of love for that guy. First day I met him on the ice.
Is there anything in particular that makes him hateable?
Just the way he runs his mouth. I don't know. He kind of acts tough. He's not tough. I don't know. No, definitely wouldn't.
So, to me, here's Ryan Reeves coming into Toronto, and he's talking about Corey Perry.
Correct.
He's talking about a guy who won the Hart Trophy. He's talking about a guy who won a Stanley Cup. He's talking about a guy he's never even met. And yeah. He's talking about how he didn't like him right when he's on the ice because he started lipping his mouth or whether he's yapping. Well, look what he's doing. He's yapping all over the place. He hasn't won half of the stuff or had even a quarter of the career that Corey Perry had. And for the nerve of him to go into the media and start throwing verbal jabs at people that have had the career of Corey Perry and then continue on with some of his rants that he's had, I don't think this is what Toronto wanted to see from Ryan Reeves when they signed him.
No, you know what? That's a great point because you played with a lot of tough guys. I refereed a lot of tough guys. They weren't the soundbite in the dressing room. And he saw this as an opportunity. And you and I talked about it back in October, one of our first shows. I said, I think he's setting himself up for a career already at Sportsnet, TNT, wherever. And I agree.
He might get it sooner than you think.
He might get it sooner than later because he may get bought out. And yeah, I didn't like that either. He showed disrespect to a guy like you alluded to earlier that's played in more Stanley Cups in the last 5 years than anybody. He's won a Stanley Cup, respected by everybody in the league. I love Corey Perry. And he came in there and was shooting his mouth off and saying he's not that tough. Well, yeah, we know Corey Perry's not that tough. That's not his role. But he'll stand up for himself too. So he is pretty tough. But
well, I was having this conversation with Craig Gervais and Andrew Peters this morning on After the Whistle, who everybody can listen to every Wednesday. And they made a good point. Is Ryan Reeves yipping his mouth off like this if they had Dave Manson and Stu Grimson and Bob Probert and Kelly Chase and Tony Twist on the ice?
Not a chance. He knows he's one of the last two or three guys in the league that can even fight anymore. Like him and the guy from Montreal, Wi-Fi, they call him. There's not many guys that are of his toughness and caliber, and he knows it. And of course,
all the more reason, right? All the more reason why you just keep your mouth shut and just go do your job.
Be humble. Exactly.
Go do your job on the ice. Protect your players. Be a good voice in the locker room. Be, you know, go out and yap on the ice, right? Go out and tell the guys, if you touch my guys, I'm going to beat the crap out of you.
Exactly.
Do your job on the ice. Don't go to the media and start throwing stuff like that. Now, listen, who am I to talk? Because I did a lot of yipping and yapping and all that stuff. But listen, I scored a lot of goals in the league. You know, right. I didn't win a Stanley Cup, no, but I didn't go around saying that Wayne Gretzky or Mark Messier or Mario Lemieux were
right.
good guys, and I didn't like them, you know? And
yeah,
it's just, I don't know.
I think Revo, if I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass here, I think he got caught up in the Toronto media. He got caught up because they brought him, Bertuzzi, and
Domi
in for some grit. I saw the opening night. I saw it yesterday. Opening night, they announce him. He comes out of the tunnel. You know what he does? He flexes to the crowd.
He flexes and he points to his muscle.
Come
right?
on.
That's the way he introduces himself to the crowd.
That is so bad.
Does he feel he has to let everybody know that he's tough and strong?
I guess
does he
so.
Have to let everybody know? I mean, his reputation should precede him, right? He's just come out, shake his, you know, do a little head bow, thank you, everybody, and then do what he needs to do. Totally, listen, I don't know Ryan Reeves. He could be the best guy in the world, but I totally think that he outkicked his coverage on this one. And now he's not playing. And I think he's trying to tip the scale right now to get Toronto to trade him, because you don't go in the media and say, I don't know why I'm an injured reserve when I'm not injured.
Right. No, that's not good. That's not good. He's not getting back into this lineup chair. I bet you this summer he gets bought out because he, like I said earlier, he can't play in the league anymore.
I think he's going to be gone by the trade deadline, and Toronto's going to have to pick up some of his slack.
We watch hockey every night. The St. Louis Blues are middle of the pack. I see them play every night. He's not taking Torpchenko's spot, the guy that can skate and blah, blah. He's not, and we don't have the fighting in the league anymore. So anyway, enough. But I want to ask you, because I love this hire, and you've got a bit of a history with this guy, and it's awesome. There's some great sound bites out there. And this was phenomenal. But I loved Lou Lamoriello went outside the box. And I think that's our fifth or sixth coach that's been fired this year, which is unbelievable. It was four before Christmas. And Sweet Lou brings in Patrick Waugh. And wow. Patrick Waugh, when he came into Colorado, he was fiery. He was fiery like he was on the ice. And he's probably matured a lot. He's probably learned a lot going back and coaching again. But I don't think he's lost that fire either. And it won't take much to set him off again. I want to hear your, because I know you respect him, but you guys got into it a lot, the old two rings in yeah. the year. Yeah. You were giving it to him. Tell the listeners about that.
Well, I actually love that Patrick Waugh is back in the league. I have a lot of respect for him, and I also hated playing against him because he was frustrating, but I scored a lot of goals on him. But he was a yapper. He would always yap at me in the games. He's going to be a tough coach to play for in the island. I think Lou wants a little bit of toughness in his team. I think he wants more consistency with his team. I think he wants a better defensive-minded team right now. They're letting up over 3 goals a game right now, which is not good for a team that doesn't have the high-scoring punch that, say, Vancouver does or Edmonton or Colorado. So I think this is a wake-up call for this team saying, good luck, boys. You better play well because you don't want to piss Patrick Waugh off like I did back in 1996 in the playoffs. We're playing in the first round against Colorado. I'm with Chicago. We're up 2-1 going into game 4 in Chicago. Now in game 3, I come in on Patrick Waugh on a breakaway and absolutely roast his ass with a deke and score a goal. And he goes sliding into the corner and it was beautiful. Game 4. And so we won game 3. Game 4, we're tied. We're in overtime. I am on an all-out breakaway. And you guys can go, everybody can go to YouTube and YouTube, you know, Ronick gets tripped on breakaway. But I'm on an all-out breakaway. And Koharski is the ref. And Sandis Ozolinch pushes me, dives from behind me and pushes the back of my heel. And my whole leg goes out from under me and I fall backwards. And I slide into net and into the corner. Not even a penalty call, not even a penalty shot.
No.
It is the epitome of, if you look at the NHL rules of a breakaway,
right,
taking and getting tripped on a breakaway, what a penalty shot means, this is the absolute ultimate definition of a penalty shot, and Coho didn't call a penalty. And I'm sitting here going, are you shitting me?
Yeah.
And I'm yelling and screaming on the ice. I'm like, what are you doing? And the only thing I can think of is that it's the old mentality of refereeing saying, let the players, no penalties, no penalty shots, sure, let the game figure itself out, let the referees stay out of it. But this was so blatant, and I was so mad. I got in the locker room, and I'm ripping Coho, and I'm ripping the call, and I'm just
in the media,
pissed. In the media, I am just pissed that the refereeing was so bad and that he didn't call a penalty shot in overtime. And Patrick heard this from some of the media. So Patrick goes, oh, it wouldn't have mattered if he had a penalty shot, because I would have saved it anyway. And I went, really? Where were you in game 3 on the breakaway I had when I put your jock up in the rafters? You know, and I totally embarrassed you on that one. And then it goes back to Patrick, and he had that famous line, which was just awesome. He goes, well, I don't heard what Jeremy Roenick say because I got the 2 Stanley Cup rings blocking my ear. And I'm like, wow, what a comeback that was. I mean, that was a great comeback. Yes, he has 2 Stanley Cups. He's the second highest winning goaltender in hockey history. And I'm sitting here going, what do I say? And I said, well, go tell Patrick Roy in English, it's called plurals. So if he has two rings and if they're in one ear, then his other ear is wide open. You should be able to hear me. It's the only thing I could have said. And that banter back and forth made every single headline across the world. And Patrick and I actually, we got a good chuckle from it. I think we respect each other tremendously because of that kind of situation, because we love playing against each other. Right. When I'd score a goal against Patrick Roy, he would slam his stick on the ice because he was so mad that I scored on him. And if he made a big save when I had it, I was so mad because we just wanted to just grill each other, because both of us have that competitive edge that we loved competing against each other no matter where we played. And I have the utmost respect for Patrick Roy and his love for the game. And I really hope he does well in Long Island.
He had to shave his beard off. I got a kick out of that. I love Lou, but geez, Lou, it's 2024. Let the guy keep his beard. Got respect for Lou Lemieux.
If he gets this team going the right way, he can grow his beard back in the playoffs. I don't think he'll say anything. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping that they make the playoffs. They lost last night. They're 1-1 under Patrick, but I agree with you. I think the league's better with Patrick Roy in it. So.
Oh, there's no question about it. Was
he that tough to score on?
He was so good. So the two hardest guys for me to score on were Patrick Roy and Marty Brodeur. And if you think about it, those are the two guys that really implemented the butterfly goaltending style.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Patrick... whether there's someone before Patrick, which I don't think there was, Patrick mastered it and made it very difficult for players to score goals. Because a lot of times in the 80s, you just shoot it on the ice, and goaltenders didn't want to go down, go right in. That butterfly covers so much of the bottom of the net. And he was so agile and so athletic that move being literally a low. Lower net presence. I think you can even ask Martin Brodeur where he learned to do it or why he started doing it. I'm sure he's going to say Patrick Roy. So they revolutionized the game.
Let's touch on Winnipeg. Winnipeg has only allowed 3 goals once in the last 35 games, which is unbelievable. This team, to me, like, that's what you want as a team, especially going into the playoffs, right? Is this a team, JR, that can sustain this? And this is, you know, our buddies Rick Tocchet, we love Vancouver. Their goal differential, I think you and I said, was 59 or 69 today. It's unbelievable. Thatcher Demko will probably get the – well, it'd probably be between him and Hellebuck for the Vezina this year. Can Winnipeg sustain this? They just got Kyle Connor back from injury. Is this a team that you think can compete with a Vegas or a Colorado?
Well, we talked about them a month and a half ago, and we're saying can they withstand it? Like they've continued to win even with Kyle Connor out of the lineup due to injury. There's a couple things that this team does very, very well. They play as a team very well. Rick Bowness is a mastermind of getting people to buy into a system. And obviously, when you have a great goaltender like Hellebuck, who could have won a Vezina Trophy last year or the year before, I think is him and Demko for sure are the lead leaders right now in that category. But when you have a goaltender like that playing in front of you, the team can play so much more dominant, so much more confident, can take chances more, and they got some good scoring punch. I think they have great leadership. Their leadership is just amazing. This is a surprise. The two surprise teams of the league this year. You have Vancouver, which is what is the scoring juggernaut, and you have Winnipeg, which is the defensive juggernaut. It's pretty impressive watching these two change, and. So you have Edmonton flying high, winning 14 games in a row. You have Winnipeg playing this way. You have Vancouver. Do we even venture to guess that we possibly could have a Stanley Cup winner come from Canada for the first time in 20 years? 30 years.
Has it been 30 years?
30 years. This year is the anniversary. Well, last year was the anniversary of the 30 years. So we're going on 31 this June. The Montreal Canadiens won in 1993. So this will be 31 years this June since a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup, which is really sad, to tell you the truth, in the hockey world.
Well, I can tell you who it won't be this year. It won't be Toronto. They're not built to go four rounds. But Edmonton, Vancouver, you know what? There's a good chance that one of them could make.
Isn't it crazy looking at some of these rosters and seeing some of the names on the rosters? Like, you look at Toronto's roster, it's impressive. It's really impressive. You look at Winnipeg's roster, you'll notice a few guys, but it's not anywhere near the roster of Toronto.
No, but you know, I wrote down here earlier, you got Tavares, he's making $11 million a year. He's got, I don't know, 9 goals, 10 assists. And there's one more year left of his deal. So I'm sorry, this team is not. And Brad knows it. Treleving knows it. He knows this. He knows this team is not built to win the Stanley Cup this year. JR, they don't have the defense to win the Stanley Cup. There's not a chance they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I'm sorry to all the Leaf listeners out there, but they are not winning the Stanley Cup. Edmonton has a chance to win the Stanley Cup. Vancouver has a chance.
But so why do you say that Toronto can't win the Stanley Cup? What is the one? Is it the goaltending? Obviously, defense. The goaltending has been a problem.
Defense.
So the whole defensive aspect.
Morgan Rielly is your best defenseman.
Morgan Rielly's a pretty damn good hockey player.
Very good. Very good. But after that, it drops off a lot. TJ Brody, Mark Giordano, McCabe. They don't have a great defense, buddy. They're weak on D. And their goaltending is suspect. Joseph Woll, who is by far their best goalie, is hurt right now. He's not going to be back until late February. Samsonov had a good game the other day, but this team right now, the pundits, you know, in September thought that this team could compete. I'm the Toronto media is so jaded sometimes. I don't even think they think that the Toronto Maple Leafs can win a Stanley Cup.
I'm going to say this on top of that, not saying anything bad about William Nylander, but ever since he signed that contract, I have not seen the same zip that I saw pre-contract signing. I mean, he had a couple goals the other night, but one I think was an empty net, or it was just a no-nothing goal. But, boy, this guy has slowed his pace down in games since that signing, and that disappoints me, man. Really does.
You know who continues to amaze me is Kucherov in Tampa.
Isn't it unbelievable what he's doing right now?
That's not and the same team as 3 or 4 years ago. This, you know, they're fighting to make a playoff spot, and he's got 80 points this year.
Well, listen, he's picking up. They've lost a couple of really good players on this lineup. I mean, you know, Braden Point is a great player, right? But they've lost some key offensive guys that I think has made their team weaker. Their Tampa Bay's fourth line is terrible. It's been terrible all year.
And that used to be their strength.
It used to be their strength, correct. Okay. But their top guys, I mean, Kucherov is playing at an unbelievable level. Look, obviously, Braden Point is still playing it at a great level. Stamkos is playing great hockey. I didn't think that Kucherov could keep this pace up for a total season. Now, it's only been 48 games, but the guy's got 80 points. I mean, he's putting up Connor McDavid numbers right now. By far leading the candidates for the Hart Trophy this year for the most valuable player, without question. I even think he might even win it if Tampa doesn't make the playoffs. It could be one of those situations. That's how good of a year he's being. But the two best players that we've seen over the last year is Kucherov and Nathan McKinnon out of Colorado. Nobody scored more points than Nathan McKinnon since last January in the past calendar year.
It's unbelievable.
Which is crazy knowing how many points Connor McDavid put up last year.
It's unbelievable. He's a stud. It's crazy. Pittsburgh's not going to make the playoffs. You know, we saw their gaffe 2 nights ago putting the puck in their own net.
Like, yeah, what happened with that? I think we were talking about that Pittsburgh put the puck in their own net. And by the way, what is Malkin doing being so lackadaisical with the puck? I mean, yeah, I mean, Letang can't throw a puck backwards, you know, but they're doing this throw the puck back and set up.
They do it all the time.
Yeah, but come on, you know, Gino Malkin's one of my favorite players in the league, but for God's sakes, you can't be that lackadaisical when your team is not doing well and you're getting ready to go on a power play. But it was weird how it happened because should the play have been called, whistled down? It was really weird.
No, but what happened was, and you could see the frustration with Sid after. I've never seen him do this. He put his stick on top of his head. He was like so frustrated. He's like, oh my God, this epitomizes how our season's going. So Arizona was on the power play. Pittsburgh was shorthanded. They had Harkins in the bench or in the penalty box. And all of a sudden, Zucker takes a penalty for Arizona. So the referee's arm goes up for a delayed penalty. So if the puck doesn't go in the net, they're going to play 4-on-4. Well, the puck goes in the net. The referees kept, even though they reported it in the game summary as a power play goal by Arizona, the referees kept the Pittsburgh player Harkins in the box. He had 50 seconds left in the penalty. He should have been released because Arizona scored, and then Pittsburgh would have had a full 2-minute power play, but they only had a minute and 10 power play.
Wow.
So it kind of got swept under the – not kind
very
of.
Very weird situation. I've never seen that happen in the league before. That is pretty – it's funny. It's stupid. And it's crazy all at one time.
Well, my old boss, Andy Van Helleman, if he had been the boss, those referees would have been fine. But Stephen Wacom's a little bit nicer, and it kind of got swept under the rug, and nobody said anything.
So funny. Hey, listen, I am in L.A., so I'm really excited to watch L.A. play tonight, see Kopitar. But there's one person that I'm going to be watching very closely, and I've been very harsh on this player since the summer. And that's Pierre-Luc Dubois. Pierre-Complain Dubois.
Right.
Okay. So my rant about him this summer was, I hope Pierre-Luc Dubois is happy now. Because he complained about Columbus. He wanted out of Columbus. He complained about being in Winnipeg. He wanted out of Winnipeg. He got out of Winnipeg. He wanted to go play someplace that was a good team. Good place to live. So where's the best place maybe to do that? The Los Angeles Kings. A great place to live. Manhattan Beach, the Strand, wearing slippers and all that stuff, which is great. Yeah. Flip-flops and t-shirts. You get to play golf if you want to. You can do anything you want. And then you get to go to the rink and play for a really good team. The Los Angeles Kings are fourth in their division. They're a strong team, great players, great coach, great organization. And what does Pierre-Luc Dubois do after signing an $8.5 million contract? He shits the bed. And he comes into LA, and he's just a loaf of a player. And I would be, you know, if I complained that much, I'd be on cloud nine and be, you know, skating my ass off. Because Pierre-Luc Dubois is a good player. But I am convinced now that he's lazy.
Yep.
He's lazy and he doesn't care.
You know what, buddy? He is a good player, but there are clips from when he played in Columbus. There's clips when he played in Winnipeg. He's, to your point, he's lazy. He is not. If Ryan O'Reilly had 80% of the talent that Pierre-Luc Dubois had, Pierre-Luc Dubois needs to watch Ryan O'Reilly play hockey. The 200-foot game, the compete level, all of that. Pierre-Luc Dubois is lazy. He's blamed everybody else. He didn't like Torts in Columbus. He goes to Winnipeg, as you said. It's too cold. Now he's in L.A. He's making $8.5 million a year, and he is shitting the bed. And Todd McClellan has basically said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with him. I don't know where to put him in the lineup. They tried him on the wing with Kopitar to try to get him going. That didn't work. What do we do with this guy? At some point,
what a kick in the nutsack What a kick in the nutsack to the LA Kings for signing this guy to a huge contract and the first year of this huge contract. And by the way, he's a career 60-point guy. So LA really went over and above to make sure that this kid was getting paid and getting the money that he wanted. And really, I mean, the Kings organization is first class all the way. I don't care what anybody says. And they went above and beyond to make sure that Pierre-Luc Dubois was happy with his contract, even more so. And now this is what Pierre-Luc Dubois gives the LA Kings. It's a joke. He's got 9 goals. He's got 10 assists for 19 points. He's a minus 13. He's a minus 13 on one of the better defensive teams in the National Hockey League. This is a joke of a season. And right now, I cannot stand the name Pierre-Luc Dubois because I can't stand that Pierre-Luc Dubois is only seems to be caring about Pierre-Luc Dubois, and it's showing in his play.
I agree. He should be embarrassed when he sees Rob Blake, Luke Robitaille, Nelson Emerson, plus his teammates. He's making 8.5. He's got 7 years left. When that signing happened this summer, we're like, you know what? Everyone's looking for a centerman that's 6'4", strong down the middle, right? It's a great pickup. But does he, you know what? Let's give him the rest of the year. He started out slow in Winnipeg his first year, and then he brought it on the second year. I'm not saying that's going to happen again in LA. It does take players. I remember when Justin Falk came here from Carolina to St. Louis, his first year, he was horrendous. Now him and Parenko are the best defensemen. It sometimes takes players a year to adjust to a new team, new teammates, surroundings. But I'm with you. Like, where are you going to go next? Like, yeah.
It's funny you said that.
Time for me to put up or shut up, right?
Yeah. Our buddy Joe in the chat line says, Winnipeg's a better team without him. It's kind of
strange,
right?
They are.
You know, Rockin' Reese is saying, you know, is it safe to say that he has a Pierre of arrogance?
That's funny.
I definitely think so. He definitely has a Pierre of arrogance. And I just hope he has a little bit of pride and starts playing better. But at least, you know what, you can't fool us. You can't fool the fans. They see they see your effort level. They might not see that you score every night or that you're on the score sheet, but they do see the work ethic. They do see your grind. They do see how much you care. And I hope we start seeing that from Pierre Dubois, because the Kings deserve the best from him.
You just touched on a great thing, and I know you got to go. You got something to go to tonight, but you touched on the work ethic thing. Braden Schenn hadn't scored in 17 games in St. Louis. He's the captain of the team, right? But he's out there fighting. He's out there doing exactly to your point. You can't fool the fans, and he's got to man up. JR and he's got to take a long look in the mirror and say, is this the player I am? It's not good.
Well, he right now, as of right now, he can go down as one of the biggest flops in NHL history. And I know that's saying something, that's a big saying, but when you sign for the money that he did, and he was looked at to be a catalyst in Columbus. He was looked to be a catalyst in Winnipeg, and now he's doing this. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that on myself.
The guy's going to make 70, 80, 90 million at the end of his contract in career earnings, and these are your stats? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, be better.
It's just the effort level, right? And for me, that's not good. Hey, I know we got to take a shout out to our sponsors. Our sponsors are really important to us. BetOnline is just a fantastic, just a great company. And if you want to make some money, go to BetOnline. So why don't you tell us a little bit about BetOnline,
my friend? Absolutely, buddy. With the NFL playoffs here and the NBA season in full swing in the NHL, BetOnline has you covered with all the up-to-second odds, news, and scores. With additional odd lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today to get into the action and see all your updated odds. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online is where the game starts. Thank you for supporting us.
Yeah, they are. So in saying that, so Whiskey in the Wild, also my whiskey, whiskeyinthewild.com. Reach out to us and get yourself a bottle of chocolate or chocolate orange whiskey. It is the best. And we did speak about Bet Online. Let's give some of these great fans of ours that are watching a pick for tomorrow for the Bet Online so they can go on Bet Online. Absolutely. We got to do that right now. So I'm going to go on tomorrow. Listen, Tampa Bay is rolling right now. Arizona's rolling right now. I'm going to take Tampa Bay tomorrow over Arizona. Arizona's actually playing tonight in Florida. They're getting thumped right now, 3-0 in the first period. It's a long way to come west to east. That time change is a little bit crazy. So Tampa, as good as they're playing, I'm going to take Tampa at home against Arizona. I think Arizona is due for a slide. They've been playing too good lately.
Well, you know what? It's hard to believe, but Detroit is actually favored in this game tomorrow against Philly, and I think it's part of the Phillies lost 3 or 4 in a row, the Carter Hart situation. Detroit's favored. I think Detroit's going to make a push here in the second half. I'm hoping for my buddy Stevie Eiserman that Detroit sneaks in. I'm going to take Detroit tomorrow night at home over Philadelphia. But before we go, you need to
we got some exciting news, man. Yeah. We got some exciting news. So our podcast has been so popular and people have really enjoyed it. We've had some people ask if we would continue and add a show. So with everything going on the weekends, everybody wants to hear what we have to say about weekend games because that's when most of the games are being watched. I would highly suggest everybody to go to Caffeine TV. It's a great network. Our Snipes and Stripes is featured on Caffeine TV. Just go through the network page and find No Filter on the network page. Click on it. Follow us. Watch the show on Caffeine TV. It is fantastic. It's a great watch. Every Monday, we're going to – Tim and I are going to make – we're going to do a show every Monday morning that is going to be aired on Caffeine TV plus anywhere you get your podcasts. And please feel free to download and see what we think of the weekend's games. It's going to be the Snipes and Stripes weekend edition every Monday on Caffeine TV.
I love it.
Search the No Filter on the follow button page, okay, on Caffeine TV. It's going to be a great show because we're going to break down the whole weekend of hockey, baby.
JR, you got to run. What's the over under on how many autographs you signed tonight in LA, buddy? Because you're a legend there, and I'm happy that you're going to be back in the building tonight. There's going to be a lot of fans that are going to be happy to see you.
Well, you know what? I played terrible when I was here in LA. I've been very forthright in saying I love playing here in LA, but I was just terrible. It's coming off the lockout. I didn't take care of myself, and I owe the fans of LA and all the, you know, the organization just a big thank you for being supportive of me. I called Luke Robitaille. You know, Luke Robitaille says, "What do you need? I got whatever the tickets you need. You got VIP parking. They treat me like a king here." That's like awesome. I said, the LA Kings are a first-class organization. Luke Robitaille and Rob Blake and Nelson and everybody in this organization, from top to bottom, the training staff, is a first-class run team. And I couldn't be more proud to go into that building, say hi to everybody. People are great to me there. And even though they could be mean to me, but they're not. So even the fan base. And by the way, their fan base here is one of the better fan bases in the league. They are so underrated on how great fans are here at the new Crypto Center. It's pretty unbelievable to watch.
If you see Will Ferrell tonight, make sure you take a selfie with him, okay?
I love it. I love it. I hope Will Ferrell's yelling at Pierre-Luc Dubois, "Get your ass!" All right, Timmy. Thanks again, buddy. Again, everybody, check us out on Caffeine TV. Go to the No Filter page. Click follow, watch. I'm telling you, you'll really enjoy that platform as well as Snipes and Stripes right here on nofilter.net. I hope everybody has a great weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday. See you, Timmy. I love you.
Hey, buddy.